Americans are taking on more personal loans, a lot more. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Personal loans are up more than 10% from a year ago, according to data from Equifax. That is a steep rise in an economy that's otherwise doing well, and it's raising some concerns. We have Chris Lowe to help us out here. He's chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
So what's behind this? You know, the economy's doing great. Why do you think personal loans are spiking this way?
Well, there's two things going on. One is that when people feel more comfortable economically, that their job is secure, they expect income growth in the future, that they're actually less likely to save and more likely to borrow. So that's part of it. The other part of it is an unintended byproduct of the financial reforms after the crisis in 08 and 09. And that's because in the last two economic cycles, if households wanted to borrow, they were much more likely to take a loan against their home equity, well beyond the value of the house, which is what got us into the financial crisis. Now, Dodd-Frank pretty much ended that practice. So if a household wants to borrow, they're borrowing unsecured.
So harder to take loans against your home these days, so people are doing it through the form of unsecured personal loans. Is this something we should worry about?
I think it's definitely something we should worry about, in the sense that if there's one lesson we learned in the financial crisis, it's that problems in the financial system should be tackled before they're enormous, not after. This is not yet a problem with the kind of magnitude that it threatens the economy going forward. But what it does do is it underlines the importance of balance, the importance of having interest rates at a level where there is some credit growth, but there's not excessive credit growth.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, Sabri.
We've heard a lot about millennials and boomers and how they are different. Well, I guess it is time to take a label to the latest successor generation, Gen Z, or as they are sometimes known, Zoomers. These are people born after 1995, their formative years defined by technological sophistication and a post-recession economy. David and Jonas Stillman are a father-son duo who founded the management consulting firm Gen Z Guru. It gathers data about how Zoomers think about the workplace and their economy. Our host, David Brancaccio, spoke to the Stillmans recently about how Gen Zers are approaching their careers.
For an employer who wants to retain a Gen Z employee, or at least attract one, what are some things that make you different from the millennials?
When millennials entered their early stages of their career, statistically, they said the number one thing they want from their employer is meaning. They said, if I'm going to come work somewhere 40, 50 hours a week, I want to be moving the needle somewhere. I want to be doing something good in the world. And I want to make sure that people don't think that Gen Z doesn't care about the world. But the number one thing we look for in an employer is pay and salary. At the end of the day, if meaning isn't at the top of the list, there's so many ways to find meaning in today's world that at the end of the day, I just need to be able to afford my life, pay for myself, my family, whatever.
So more oriented toward cash on the barrel head, Mr. Employer. What are you going to pay me? And
absolutely,
do I get health care?
100%.
Okay, so a little bit more practical or ruthless, a little less...
realistic is what they are, just very pragmatic and realistic, because they saw the recession, they saw things stripped from their parents, they saw a lot of millennials sitting on mounds of college debt. And so they're saying, look, I need to be making a salary first and foremost in order to survive.
Jonah, what do you think about entrepreneurship with your cohort? I mean, is that kind of the basic goal of all of them? I want to work for myself?
There's a few ways to look at it. One, statistically, we know that we already are more entrepreneurial. At our age, 17% of Gen Zers have started a company compared to 11% of millennials. But beyond that, there's two reasons I see that. One, the barrier to entry to start a company has become drastically easier, not only for Gen Z, but for everyone. If right now you decided you had a new company idea, within 48 hours, you could do everything you needed to do. File for an LLC, build your custom website, 1-800 number that forwards to your cell phone. But beyond that, there's a culture shift and that's allowing us to do both. It used to be the decision that my dad's generation had to make is, do I go work for a company or do I go off on my own and try to start it? My generation can do both.
That's interesting because, you know, a lot of us have employment contracts or agreements that say the main boss owns you. And I can just hear the Gen Xer or boomer boss going, wait a second, he's going to be using my internet to sell
shoes? We've seen that dialogue all the time.
It's a huge thing. And it brings up a topic that we talk a lot about. And it's the idea of, you know, work-life balance is the most accepted model. And it has been for nearly a decade or more. But the problem is that there's a massive shift in that work really isn't a place anymore. Work lives on our phones, our laptops, our tablets. And I come to the office to do work. And the model that we think Gen Zers are starting to push, and we know they are, and hopefully it'll be accepted, is the idea of work-life blend instead of balance. Where work and life, we all know it happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if I have to step away from my desk at my main job for a few hours to go to the dentist or for a family reason, maybe it shouldn't be a big deal because chances are later that night at 7 o'clock, I'm checking emails. So this new model that Gen Z, I think, will really push for is this idea that where, when, and how my work gets done should be much less of a focus than the outcome. If I'm doing good at my job, keep me there.
I talk to a lot of these managers, and I really do understand where they're coming from. They're like, there's no way I'm going to walk by Jonah's desk in the middle of the day and watch him uploading tennis shoes that he's painted and selling them. And you're like, that makes a lot of sense. Until Jonah says, all right, then you cannot email me 7 o'clock at night anymore. And the employer is quiet. And they realize that they don't even fall within that 9-to-5 regime. They're already living a bit of a blend, but they can't put those demands on Gen Z.
The Gen Z guru pair, David Stillman, father, Jonah Stillman, son. They wrote a book called Gen Z at Work. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio there. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.